Meningitis B is a dangerous bacterial infection that attacks the membrane around the brain and spinal cord. It can also cause septicemia, a serious blood infection. If left untreated, meningitis B can be fatal. Dr. Shelley McNeil, chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Nova Scotia Health and Dalhousie University, spoke with CKDU to discuss the dangers around meningitis, why students returning to post-secondary school are at a higher risk, and the importance of getting the meningitis B vaccine.
So meningitis B is a bacterial infection caused by a bacteria that causes largely two main things. It causes meningitis, so inflammation in the lining around the brain, or it causes infections in the bloodstream. So the bacteria gets into the blood and causes what we call sepsis. So it's a serious but rare bacterial infection. We see about 100 to 150 cases a year in Canada. And we know that there are certain groups that are at higher risk of getting meningitis B. In your case, the most important one is young adults, or particularly college students. We know that people who are in university, especially those who live in a dormitory setting, have about three times higher risk of catching meningitis B than other adults the same age. So it's a particularly important thing for people who are going to be living in residences in particular to think about trying to prevent.
And what makes them three times more likely, like just living in those close quarters or?
Yeah, it's probably the living environment. I mean, it's an organism, it's a bacteria that you can sort of, that can live in the nose and throat. And so it's spread between people by close contact with mouth secretions or sexual contact. So, you know, if you're sharing drinks and sharing forks and spoons and cigarettes and vapes and those sorts of things and living in close quarters, you're much more likely to come in contact with the bacteria. So it's really probably that sort of lifestyle in dormitories, particularly when you first move into a dorm, that probably leads to that increased risk.
And what are the first symptoms that people start to notice with meningitis B?
Yeah, it can be pretty nonspecific. So, you know, part of the reason that we're all afraid of this infection is that it presents sort of nonspecifically initially, but people get very sick very quickly, you know, over 12 to 24 hours. So most commonly, people would generally feel a bit unwell initially, probably develop a headache, often associated with fever, and then many times we'll go on to develop a sort of weird looking rash, mostly on the lower legs, or most commonly on the lower legs. So the constellation of fever, headache, and rash are the three big things to watch for together.
What happens when these go untreated?
Yeah, unfortunately, even with sort of prompt recognition and early treatment of this infection, it is so rapidly progressive and it causes inflammation in the lining around the brain that it can be very severe even with appropriate treatment. But about 10% of people, or 1 in 10 people who get meningitis, will die from it. And about a third of the people who survive will have complications. And the most common things are things like hearing loss, mental changes, neurologic changes, or because of the way that the infection acts in the body, sometimes we end up needing, the people who have this infection end up needing amputations of their limbs. So those would be sort of big complications that can sometimes happen even if people survive the infection.
How does the vaccine work? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so there are two vaccines available. They're both two doses, and they prevent infection by, like any other vaccine, by having the body produce antibodies against meningitis B. So they're sort of training the body to produce antibodies that if you got exposed to meningitis B, you would already have protective antibodies in your bloodstream that could hopefully prevent you from getting sick from the infection. So there are two doses that you need at least 1 month between the first and second dose. So from a timing perspective now, given that everyone's sort of getting ready to go back to university now, mm-hmm. What we've been suggesting to people is get that first dose into you. And then if you are still in the same place where you can get the second dose in a month, that's great. Go ahead and do that. The sooner you get two doses, the sooner you're protected. And if you're not, then get it at the next possible opportunity. So perhaps when you go home for Thanksgiving, for example, would be when you could plan and book to get that second dose.
Yeah. Is it offered at Dalhousie at all?
Yeah, Nova Scotia and PEI just announced funding for this vaccine. So part of the reason we want people to start talking about this is that a lot of people think that if they already had all the vaccines that were recommended to them, so they got all their baby vaccines just like they were supposed to, they got all their vaccines in school and in junior high school just like they were supposed to, so they think they're up to date with vaccines, and they don't realize that because meningitis B vaccine is new, it's not actually part of any of those school-based programs. So you really have to go out and seek it out. So Nova Scotia has just announced funding for the vaccine for Nova Scotia students who will be going off to a college or university and living in a dormitory for the first time. So I believe Dal Student Health will be offering it, but also pharmacies have it, family docs offices have it, and in Nova Scotia, for Nova Scotia students, regardless of where they're going to school, it is covered. So it is free to the individual for both doses of vaccine. And that's true in PEI as well. In other places, it may not be covered. So, but parents, health insurance plans, for example, might cover the cost of the vaccine. So you can really ask, you know, your family doctor, your local public health office, your pharmacist, and all of them should be able to help figure out how to access the vaccine for you.
Really great that Nova Scotia put that in place.
Yeah, this is the first year, so we're really happy to see that step.
I was going to ask you about, like, if there is enough awareness with young people. Like you said, like, people think that they have this vaccine already, so...
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. Like, you know, I think a lot of people, parents and kids, as they go off to university, are sort of starting to think about, you know, all the things they need to do to keep healthy, make sure they know their healthcare number, make sure they know how to, you know, access healthcare for the first time on their own, et cetera. And one of the things parents will think about, or often should think about is vaccines. But they again think because they got all the vaccines they were supposed to get along the way, that they would be up to date with vaccines. And because this one's new, they won't have had it unless they specifically went out and got it at some point. So that's really the message here, is there is a way to prevent this infection. It's very difficult to diagnose and treat, so that makes it all the more important to prevent it, of course. So the more people who are vaccinated, the less likely we are to see sort of tragic situations like we saw in Halifax sort of in the last year or so in students. So, you know, really, really important for parents to know, and young adults. I have a 22-year-old, so I call them kids, but, you know, really important for them and their parents to know that this vaccine exists, because many would go get it if they knew it existed. And unfortunately, you know, not everyone knows that it exists. So it's always sad, of course, if people didn't even know they could get a vaccine and then become infected with this bacteria.